Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let me welcome you along to this special broadcast from LTBS. Thank you very much for joining with us today, and we pray that your time with us might really be blessed of the Lord to your own soul, and that you'll feel the Lord's presence very close to you as we open up the Word of God and share it together. Let's please unite our hearts together in prayer as we seek the face of God and ask God's blessing on our coming together. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we thank Thee for the opportunity given to us to call upon Thy name. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of calling upon the name of the Lord, knowing that we have a great High Priest in heaven who ever lives to intercede for us. And in His name and through His merits, we come to Thee today, and we pray that Thou wilt grant unto us Thy help as we would seek to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and that Thou will bless the word of the Lord as goes forth today to the glory of Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. I would like to read with you from the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read together from verse 1 down to the end of verse 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 14. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. We'll end our reading here at verse 14. We're going to sing our second hymn, Isaac Watts' lovely hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died.
Thank you.
I would like you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 in our Bible reading, and you'll find our text. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, he focused on the doctrine of justification. The whole central section of his letter, chapter 3 and chapter 4, is taken up with this glorious truth of justification through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, without human merit or without human works. Chapter 3, verse 10 to 14, he expands on this vital aspect of justification by showing us that the law condemns rather than justifies. Now, that was an important point in his debate with the Judaizers, because a human works-based system of salvation, regardless of what type it is, can never save a soul. Salvation is through faith alone, without human merit, in the work of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In verse 13, which is our text, Paul focused the Galatian believers upon faith in the work of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sole ground of our justification. It is not human merit that saves. It is not human works that saves. It is Christ's work on our behalf, which alone can save the soul. And Paul knew that his ultimate argument, his ultimate defense against the Judaizers of his day, the legalists of his day, and their works-based system of salvation, was to turn the focus and the attention to the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that's a good place for us to focus our attention upon in our time around the Word of God. That's a good place for the preachers of the gospel to stay and linger around. And I want to examine afresh with you verse 13, because it's the pivotal battleground in our understanding of justification, which is based solely upon faith in the work of Christ and his redeeming work on the cross of Calvary. Because if ever you're to be saved for God's great eternity, if ever you're to be reconciled again to God, then you need to accept the truths that are taught in this pivotal text. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to be saved other than through faith alone in the work of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So firstly, let's consider together then the work of Christ as our Redeemer. The work of Christ as our Redeemer. Verse 13a, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. In this key, I think, New Testament text, we're introduced to the word redeemed, to the verb redeemed, or to the noun redemption. It's one of three great metaphors which are used in the New Testament to describe the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other two great metaphors that are used to describe Christ's death are propitiation, how Christ by his death propitiated the wrath of God. He turned away the wrath of God that he might show mercy. And then that other great word, reconciliation. Christ, by his death, reconciled two parties that were at variance. God, a holy God and sinful man, in the person of his only begotten Son. So the word redemption would have been a very well-known word, and it would have been used in the common vernacular of the New Testament times. It was an everyday word that was used to describe purchasing. You will remember how the Mosaic law provided for the redemption of those who had become slaves. They could be bought back from their bondage. There was actually the role of the Redeemer in the Israelite law, the kinsman Redeemer, who had the right, who had the privilege of buying out his relatives out of bondage and remortgaging their estate and putting it back into the family name again. And we think of the great example from the Old Testament, the great kinsman redeemer Boaz himself, who's such a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was Christ who bought us out of slavery. bought us out of slavery to sin, bought us out of slavery to Satan, and bought us from a sentence of death to reign as kings and priests with him forever. And I am so privileged as a minister of the gospel that I can invite sinners to come to the Redeemer. There is but one Redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the great exclusive claim of New Testament Christianity. There is but one way to heaven. There is but one Redeemer who opened up that way into heaven. And that is the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, do you know him today? Do you know him as your own and personal Redeemer? Like Job of old, can you say, my Redeemer liveth? Does he live within your heart? Does he live within your life? That's what makes it all so blessed. That's what makes it all so personal. As Luther of old said, that we can personalize it all. Because it's the pronouns in the Bible that does personalize it all. Like Job of old, my Redeemer liveth. What a blessed redemption we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to know that he's with us in the toughest places of life. And he's going to take our soul to be with him when life's journey is over to his eternal home in Emmanuel's land. What a Redeemer we have in Jesus. But secondly, notice with me from the text, what we have been redeemed from by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the text is plain and it's simple. It says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And of course this takes us right back to when our first parents fell in paradise and the curse of God's law was pronounced against them. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. We read there of the promise that was in the first covenant of works, and we read of the penalty that came in that covenant of works. There was a promise. If the covenant was obeyed, there was a penalty. If the covenant was broken, we read in verse 16, 17, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. How wonderful is God. He commanded Adam, of every tree you're to eat of it. He didn't hold anything back from Adam. There was no stinting on the side of God. It's the devil who tries to paint that picture of the Almighty. It's a caricature. God has rich bounties for those who trust and obey. But we read in verse 17, there was the negative and there was the punishment. And the negative was, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Positively, Adam was commanded to enjoy everything that God had created for him, what liberty he had there in the Garden of Eden in paradise. But negatively, he was warned not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's significant that death is first mentioned here in the Bible. And the warning's very clear. If he disobeyed God and broke God's law, he would surely die. But we know the story, sadly. He was convinced that the law would not be implemented. He listened to Satan. And when he fell in that first transgression, we read of how the curse of God's law not only fell upon Adam, but upon his subsequent generations and all of mankind. And mankind was cursed as a result. But not only mankind, Satan was cursed. Satan didn't really know what he was doing that day. He brought down mankind, but he ensured that he was cursed also. And in chapter 3, verse 14, and verse 17, 18, not only was Satan cursed, but the ground was cursed. This land, this world that we live in, it is a cursed world. Adam and his offspring were going to have to struggle. They were going to have to toil. And by the sweat of their face, they were going to have to bring forth that harvest from the land. He was going to have to labor. He was our representative head. And under the law, the Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 10, of course, that perfection could only be obtained by keeping the law perfectly. So we know that it is impossible to fully continue in all things that are written in the law of God and to do them. We could never observe and do all that is written in the law of God as a way of salvation. And thus we learn the law only still brings down upon us its curse. James 2 verse 10 reminds us, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Just to offend in one minor point is to bring down all of the righteous judgment of God upon us. What a world does God look in on? What does he see? Well, he sees, as it is recorded in Psalm 14, verse 1 to 3. And Paul took those words of Psalm 14, 1 to 3 in Romans 3, verse 9 to 12. And he describes lost mankind. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That describes you today. That describes me. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And this is the place from which we have been bought back. This is the place from which we have been redeemed, from our lost communion with God, from his fierce wrath and curse, from the miseries of this life, from death itself, from the pains of hell forever. Dear unconverted, this is why we preach the gospel, that souls might hear again of the one Redeemer and his wonderful redemption. And I implore you, do not throw away another opportunity to close in with Christ. As you're listening in today by faith, venture your all upon him. Venture wholly your all upon him. And you will find that in and through him there is perfect salvation. There's nothing perfect about you or I, but there's perfect salvation in this wonderful Lord. Thirdly, consider with me, how did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? This is the wonderful core and marrow of the gospel of Christ itself. Remember that redemption is a buying out of bondage. It is the payment of something that needs to be bought back. So what was the price the Lord Jesus Christ paid? It wasn't silver or gold. It wasn't of any earthly coinage. I was reading in the past week, Revelation 5, verse 9 to 10, about up in heaven, about the new song that they sing up there. And we read there, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." There is an innumerable number of people, an innumerable number that no man can put a calculation upon. And they've been redeemed from every kindred, from every tongue, from every people, from every nation. They've been made kings and priests unto God. How? By the shed blood of Christ. He was made a curse for us. This is substitution. It was for us that he hung on Calvary's cross. It was for us hell-deserving sinners that he suffered and he bled and died. It was for us on yonder cross that he shed that precious blood. This is satisfaction. Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. This is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. In its original context, this is not a reference to the Roman gibbet upon which Jesus was crucified. This is a reference to the tree upon which the Jews hung the malefactors, those who they judicially put to death. If it was a shame to be put in the tree, it was a shame that Christ was put in the tree for you and for me. He was made a curse for us. This is salvation. This is what he freely gives. You and I could never earn it. Christ freely gives it. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us what we could never earn. Wonderful, perfect salvation. He offered a perfect sacrifice to obey the broken law on our behalf, to fulfill its demands. He lived for us. He died for us. Horatius Bonner wrote those beautiful words. We often use them at the communion seasons. "On merit not my own I stand, on doings which I have not done, merit beyond what I can claim, doings more perfect than my own. Upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all for God's whole eternity. Tell me today, what are you building upon for God's eternity? What is the foundation of your faith? If it's not in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners, you're building on sand, and one day in the storms of God's wrath, that building which you're clinging on to is going to be swept away and is going to come tumbling down. The Lord Jesus invites you to come to him today, to trust in him, to put your faith in him, to venture your all upon him. And if you do so, verse 14 teaches that then he will bring you into a state of justification. This is referred to as the blessing of Abraham, simply because Abraham believed in God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And if you believe in God, wherever you are today, wherever you're listening in from today, and in the redeeming work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save your soul, you too can enter into that blessing and to know this blessed state of being right before God, not just in time, but for all of God's great eternity. May you do so. May God bless his word to all of our hearts and lives. Let us please unite in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray now that thou wilt send the blessed Holy Spirit, and that thou wilt use this word that has gone forth, that has been of Christ, to bless it to hearts and lives, that souls will not build upon their own works or vainly try to build upon their own merits, but that today they will build upon Christ, and that they will enter into that new state, a new standing before God, just as if they've never sinned in his sight, perfect in Christ in time and all eternity. So bless the word now, we beseech thee, as we ask these our petitions in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.